that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning. That wheel has rolled around again. And here we are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Oh, we got some queeks and whistles in there. The 23rd day of February 2013. And had a little connective issue there. And now we're back up. Thank you, Todd, for paying attention to that. And we had to reboot everything here real quick. But we say good morning to you. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and this is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And all the Wranglers are here. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Morning.
And John, we'll ask you to open up with prayer, if you would, sir.
Sure. Well, Heavenly Father, we do come before you humbly in the precious holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask for your guidance and direction in today's program. And we just pray that you would give us the thoughts that you want your people to hear. And Lord, we pray for grace and mercy in your wrath for the remnant. Pray for that hedge of angels, ring of fire, and shield of light around each and every one of them. Come against all these demonic, satanic spirits, these powers of the dog that are coming against your people, Lord. Each and every day we see more and more of an attack against Christianity, against what's right. Lord, we just bind these things from having any effect on your people. Pray these things in Jesus' name and ask for your blessings on this assembly in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, I'd have to say if we had a theme for this past week, it would be war.
Yeah.
Because a war has certainly been raged, and I think that people are starting to have their eyes opened to that, You know, war is defined as a battle or a conflict, and we certainly have a conflict in the land today.
Yep.
I think it's
it's been going on for a long time.
It has.
And it hasn't just started recently. It's been going on for generations, and people have failed to realize it. You know, it's to the point where I think some people are starting to realize it, but the thing that is going on is people think that this is just a physical war. And is what our people need to realize is that this is what our weapons of warfare are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And we need to be tapping into the spiritual forces that we can bring down strongholds, that we can bring down fortresses with. And that is the spiritual weaponry. For many, this is nothing but a physical war taking place. But for us, our victory is when we can tap into the spiritual powers that we have and fight the spiritual warfare that's before us.
Amen. Amen. But if the people don't know that there's a war, then they don't know to fight it.
Absolutely. And that's what's been going on.
Well, we've just debuted Pastor Peter's latest book. You've heard us talk about it. It's called The Unseen War. And I like how Jason put it. This war is nothing new. This war that's going on has been going on for quite a while. And, you know, our pastor, in his 33-year preaching career, reached many people and opened their eyes to the unseen war that's going on and explained it right from the scripture. And, you know, I talked a little bit about it on Thursday night. When you look at all the books that he wrote, America the Conquered, Baal Worship, Whores Galore, they're so intertwined in trying to awaken the people to this war that's going on. Again, as Jason said, this spiritual war. And it does at times certainly come out of the spiritual and make itself manifest in the physical. You know, and we see it all around us. You know, we do. We see that we have been the victims of a war. That the people would awaken to it. And when you have the eyes to see and you see the headlines, that it just is. It's amazing to me sometimes that the people don't see it, but I guess I just have to remember that there at one time when we were all that way. Jason, did you find out any more or hear any more about the gun legislation that was up in Colorado? Did those four pieces get passed, or were they still?
Well, they passed the House, but they have not. I have not been able to confirm anything that says they passed the Senate.
Okay.
A couple people said that they had heard that it did, but I could not find anything on it from any of the state websites, the federal websites, anything here in Colorado. So we still don't know. Then I also heard that they were just so busy that they wouldn't get to it for another week or two. So who knows?
Yeah. Well,
they try to sneak things through without even telling people about it too. So.
Right.
You know, just because you can't find anything out about it doesn't mean that it didn't go through.
Sure, sure. Well, I know you talked a little bit about that on your program last night. John and I listened into it and had a real good program there. And just to put this out to the people that, you know, the all the Monday through Friday programs are archived at the network website, SFAWBN. And so if you missed it last night, you can go there and click on and listen to the program. And I know you mentioned the company down in, is it Erie, Colorado, that makes the Magpul magazines that was talking about pulling out of Colorado if they pass this.
Yep.
And I know I saw one thing on and about that it said the company, and you might have mentioned it last night as well, but how it said that the company owners said that it would be hypocritical of them to manufacture a magazine in a state that wouldn't sell them, that wouldn't sell them to individuals. And, you know, there's, to me, when you hear things like that, it, Oh, it reaffirms with me that there's still those out there that don't bow their knee to Baal. You know, they may be running corporations, they may be sweeping the floor in McDonald's, but there's still, you know, there's still some Christian character out there, and still some people in positions that won't whore themselves just for the dollar.
Oh yeah, well there's a list of 34 or 35 of these firearms big companies right now that you know, are fighting back. I mean, I'm sure that there's a lot more of them out there that but they don't get the media coverage that they should. But you know, like Cheaper Than Dirt, for instance, they said they started passing laws up where they were. I can't remember exactly what town that one was in, but back east somewhere. And they said, okay, fine. You know, you don't want us to be selling the law-abiding citizens our products. We're not selling law enforcement our products. Go somewhere else. And they started turning down law enforcement, telling them, no, we're not selling you magazines. We're not selling you ammo. We're not selling you anything. You know, find another supplier.
Yeah, there's quite a few that have done that now, gun manufacturers. And
I saw a small list. Yeah, I did see a small list Thursday evening, but apparently it's grown quite a bit since then. And a question I got for you guys, I'll put it out. Do you think that, you know, it seems like lines are kind of being drawn again. Do you think that with the people, you know, it's apparent that some people's eyes are being opened to at least some of what the pastor taught, you know, basically take the opposite of what Washington and the media tell you. You know, if they tell you it's black, count on it being white. If they tell you that crime rates are up or down, and that's what they tell you, then you can count on it being up. If they tell you that unemployment is down, you can count on that being up. And the pastor sure put that out for years. And it seems like that's what the people are starting to have their eyes open. You know, the government says, we're here to help you, and we're not going to take your guns from you. The people say, uh-oh, and they go buy more guns and ammo than they ever have in the history of the country. Do you think that it seems like their eyes are being opened to that. Do you think that that might be a prelude to their eyes being opened to, you know, the story of Christianity or the and I won't even go as far as the Anglo-Israel message, but just the story of their sin?
Absolutely what's taking place. I think we're in the prophetic times of Ezekiel, and that's what that Valley of Dry Bones is. It's when people start to wake up, you know, I mean. It's you look at a lot of these people. I don't know if anybody spent any time in any of these gun shops or seen the people that are going into, but they're predominantly white males that are going down and buying guns.
That's the problem, don't you know?
Yeah, that's why we get our
name. A problem for some.
Yeah, that's why our wives and 10-year-old boys get their faces and pictures on practice targets.
But you look at that, you know, what is that? That's men becoming men again. I mean, that's a start of it. They're at least entertaining the idea of being having to use something.
Yeah.
And I think that we're in those prophetic times where people are waking up. I think it's already begun. I mean, there's people that are more ticked off about our political system than they have been in a long time. I mean, how many times I hear about it every day, and you know, I mean, it's something that there's people that are just fed up with the things that are going on all levels.
Well, yeah, but there'll be a certain number of them that'll cave, though. I mean, I was listening the other day, a bunch of people in New York, you know, where they passed a lot of this gun ban stuff that's supposed to kick in 90 days from, you know, 30 days ago or whatever. A lot of people scrambling to sell their high-capacity magazines and all the stuff that's been banned to people in Texas and states that aren't affected by the ban. So that's kind of disappointing. But
well, I think when you see that kind of stuff.
You know what it could be, too? And the thing is we just don't know whether that's taking place. That can be
a form
of manipulation.
Propaganda.
Because if they do that over in New York and say, well, all these people over here in New York, they're getting rid of it and they're selling it to people out of state, what's going to happen when they come over to Colorado and try to do the same thing? That's a form of
having a Judas goat right there is having sending one up before the slaughter just ahead of time and saying, okay, well, this is what everybody else did. Because that's the problem with our people is they're imitators. And they want to be like everybody else. And, oh, they do it over here. Well, you know what? I really don't want to be like the people over in New York personally and do just what they do there in New York.
Right.
But that's what they expect people to do. They expect people to follow it. And that's why a lot of times they'll put out, well, this is what they're doing, when that's not at all what they're doing.
Yeah, it's true.
But they get people to follow.
Right. Right. Or they'll use three or four examples. You know, three or four people will do it, and they'll put it out on the media that tens of thousands or everyone, you know, everyone that has a high-capacity mag is trying to sell it out of state, you know, to comply with the law. And you make a good point, Jason. That's just what the Antichrist do. So, well, as we may be looking at a physical war, Jason, like you mentioned, you know, certainly it's in the we understand that it's been in the spiritual realm for some time. Kyle, I'll bring up a quote from your program about 2 weeks ago. When you were talking about guns and it was something to the effect, it might not be an exact quote, but it was, well, you know, you got your gun, good. They got more guns.
Yeah, and my point obviously is not don't have a gun, because, you know, if you went into my house, you'd find out that I definitely am for guns. But what is it that keeps you out of the kingdom, you know? And everybody knows the big ones. Everybody knows fornication, adultery, homosexuality. I mean, everybody knows the big ones.
Right.
But it also gets down to, like I brought out, I think, that night, all liars. All liars. All drunkards. Now, not somebody who's gotten drunk, but I'm talking about a drunkard, you know. And our society, and a lot of these guys that's going in these gun stores to buy guns, what are they doing on Friday and Saturday night? They're getting drunk.
They're getting drunk. Yeah. And on Tuesday night.
And, yeah. And they're lying to their buddies at work. They're in a what I used to call a BS contest. You know, you used to see that a lot on commercial jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd end up going and eating lunch in my truck because I couldn't compete with the BS, for one. You know, I mean, some of those guys are really good at it, you know. And they learn that in the bars. They learn that, you know, getting their six-pack or half case or case of beer on their way home from work on Friday night instead of paying their light bill. I mean, and yeah. While I'm talking about white America, I'm not, you know, I don't know what the other races do because I've never hung out with them before, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about white America. And so I agree with the Ezekiel 36, 37, 30. I mean, everybody should read that and the dry bones. And I hope this is an awakening. I just would like to see it on the spiritual side, on the opposition, the things that keep you out of the kingdom, you know. Now, we've taught very well from this ministry. Pastor taught it great, you know, what gets you into the kingdom. And he taught it great on what keeps you out of the kingdom, because that's what I really needed to hear when I came onto this ministry. And we just need to keep crying war. That's what a preacher does. That's what a herald does. They keep crying, we're at war. And we all know that started with the mind. You know, we were all taught that. Before they can come take your guns, they take your mind first, you know, and that's why you even have things coming before Congress, because the mind was taken years ago, at least by a good majority, you know, and that's why you have good white Christian people that don't even, they believe what the government tells them, mm-hmm. you know, because they believe the lie. But anyway, I ain't against anything that's been said or anything. It's just when I see the filth and the sin and the lack of faith that's going on in this country, I would just like to see that switch, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm praying for.
Amen.
That switch comes on and people get faith again and they start living the way they're supposed to live. Go buy a box of ammo instead of a case of beer.
Have you seen a switch in people as far as that goes at all?
As far as the drunkenness and the lying and the things that keep you out of the kingdom? No.
Yeah, it sure seems in the people that I've seen and talked to And, you know, it seems like that there is an awakening going on. It's not to the sin that's in the land, not yet anyway. But it sure seems like that it is to, you know, that the government's lying to them, you know, the economy. I mean, look at gas prices. Have you been in a store and bought a loaf of bread lately? You know, gas is still up. Diesel is still up. And we have cheap fuel out here compared to the eastern half of the country in California. You know, I mean, California is its own little entity anyway. But even, you know, back east, it's a quarter more a gallon for gas or diesel. And
same on the West Coast.
Yeah. Yeah. Up north, in the Northwest. Yeah, it is. And so you know, you have that. You have food prices are going up. The people I talk to, yeah, they know something's up. They sense something. And you know, my hope is that it's a start of that they're waking up. That they wake up to this, that they do have an enemy. That hopefully they'll wake up to, you know, to this unseen war that they're in. You know, we mentioned it, you know, the book, The Unseen War That We Have. Pastor starts out talking about it, the teacher he had in high school. It was a Mr. Hill, I believe, and he was in Pearl Harbor when it got bombed. And he said he used to tell him about it, and that how the men then, even though they're in the Navy, they're on ships, they're at Pearl Harbor, and these Japanese planes are dropping bombs. The bombs are blowing up, and ships are blowing up, and they just couldn't believe they were at war. You know, it was just, even seeing that in the physical, you know, that they've been preparing for war, but but they were. And, you know, how much more now when, you know, we just, you know, our prayers that the remnant will have their eyes opened, and that to see that we are at war, that the enemy of old, the Bible tells about it, Satan is his name, and he is a liar, and, you know, so much of what you see, in the world, is a lie because it's of him and his kingdom. You know, coming over this morning, about 10 minutes before we went on the air, caught the sunrise coming up. Now that was not a lie. That was truth. And just before the sun came up in the east, the mountains to the west just had this pinkish, purplish, gray, you know, they were coming out of the dark of night and just lighting up, and the tops of them light up first as it comes down, you know. And that's God's creation. And, you know, but when you get away, when you start getting away from that and you start getting into the media or to Hollywood or to Washington, D.C., the devil's city, that's all a lie. You know, the newspaper that you pick up, the majority of it is a lie, because it contradicts the Word of God. But if you'll pick up your Bible, you can pick up a bundle of truth. You can pick up all truth. And you know that when we see the things that are in the world that are a lie, you know, those are not from God.
You know, we got to remember too, though, that there's only going to be a remnant. There's going to be many that will believe that lie, that, you know, that are deceived, that still believe that it's a patriotic thing and don't believe that it's spiritual warfare, don't believe that it's all about repentance. And, you know, I keep thinking we have to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves and choose our battles carefully. You know, there's three things that are worth fighting for, and that's your faith and your family and your freedom. I kind of remember it by the three F's, but...
And it seems like the people are starting to wake up to that. And again, that's why I it's kind of given me hope. You know, you know, through the Bible, it was when the people, finally got hit in the pocketbook. You know, when they came under such severe financial distress, it was then that they turned around and cried out to God. And, you know, that's how it was always with the people of old. And it just seems now.
But the majority aren't, though. The majority will continue to look towards the government, and that's what they're counting on, and it's working.
Yeah. You can figure that it was that way. It was that way in the Revolutionary War. What was it, Jason? 3%, I think, the term says, that participated in the Revolutionary War. 3%. Yep. Now, if that's not a remnant, I don't know what is. And that was on both sides, wasn't it? As far as the people in the colonies, 3% fought.
Was that, I believe so.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. And now that's sure a remnant. And it just seems like maybe that remnant's waking up again, because
it's
going to
take, everybody's wired different. It's going to take different things to wake different people up.
Yeah.
But they're all going to have their wake-up calls. And then there's waves. I mean, if you look at the scriptures that talk about the birth pains that are coming in, you know, those aren't going to be the same exact thing hitting people. You know, it's going to be a tax on freedoms. It's going to be a tax on
family
wealth. It's going to be a tax on family. And a lot of people aren't going to wake up until bloodshed hits their own household. That's what it took with the Israelites of old.
Yeah. Yep.
When bloodshed was shed, then there were some of them that woke up and cried out to God. And hopefully, I mean, we hope that and pray that it doesn't take that to wake people up. But if it does, then that's the Lord's plan.
Right. And shouldn't we see that an attack on one is an attack on all? I mean, the second greatest commandment were to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so, you know, if, like you said, John, if we have our freedom attacked and our family, we're ready to defend that. Or our faith, but you know, when it's our neighbor, we should feel the same way, because we're to love our neighbors ourselves. Does that?
Well, I don't know if I really want to defend my neighbor's religion.
No, not your neighbor's religion. And see, that again, that's where this, you know, these left-wing liberals over the last 200 plus years have changed this country, and they've been able to do it, of course, because of our sin, but. You know, that was never the intent of the founding fathers of this nation. That was never the intent of those that formed the Mayflower Compact, that said, you know, we come together to further the religion of all men, and we'll defend our neighbors and their right for religion. That wasn't their intent at all, and that's not what they said. You know, the Articles of Confederation didn't allude to that, but it was to further the Christian religion. And I think, you know, that's when Christ said that, love your neighbor as yourself. I think about what, you know, Kyle's talked on that several times. Well, who's your neighbor? Well, you know, if you'll be neighborly, you'll find out who your neighbor is.
Well, you can even take, on this subject, you can take the Waco incident, you know. And, we all know, and the pastor put it out, that he didn't agree with David Koresh, but he didn't want that to be the example, that they go in and just attack any place they called a cult or any place they called a commune. You know, I mean, because, you know, you have to, the three F's that John brought up, you know, I mean, you have to stand up for faith, family, and freedom. You know, I mean, because if you don't care that your neighbor's freedoms get taken, you know, because you don't like...
Yeah, guess what? You're next.
Yeah, you could be next, you know, and they tried to, you know, they attempted to take the LaPorte Church of Christ, but he stood up on faith, you know, and against them taking his freedom. I mean, we got to be neighborly, no matter if we like the neighbor or not. We got to be neighborly, you know.
Right. And I think there's a difference between, you know, you guys are saying the same thing. There's a difference between... You know, standing up for your neighbor and the rights that come in there, or not the rights, but the attacks on the freedoms and the families, you know, versus going and picketing so that Paul, that you had on with you last night, Jason, talked about some Muslims moving in his neighborhood, you know. And so we certainly wouldn't be, you know, saying, oh, yeah, Paul, that's your neighbor. So, you know, whatever they do over there, you got to go support them and all that. And, you know, misguided, you know, sense of, well, that's what love your neighbor means. No, it's not. It's not at all. You know, Paul's no more to love that antichrist, Muslim neighbor that he's got. He's no more to love him as a Christian. I mean, I don't think so. Correct me if I'm stepping out of line here, but I don't think so. Not at all. Go ahead, John. Sorry.
Yeah. in light of what we're talking about, this scripture makes a lot of sense. And it's Romans 11, 7 through 9. It says, "What then? What Israel is seeking, it has not obtained, but those who were chosen obtained it. And the rest were hardened, just as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes to see not and ears to hear not, down to this very day."
Yeah, and unfortunately, all Israel is in Israel, you know, because of that, you know, and all Israel, it says all Israel shall be saved, but all Israel is in Israel, like we think of it, you know.
Right.
And, you know, you think about the way back in when Moses was born and the decree that was through the land to kill the, you know, to kill those babies, the, you know, and
all the boys.
And, you know, I mean, how many Israelite people did what the government told them to do, you know? There was a remnant, though, you know, and thank God for it, and it was God's purpose for it, you know, that for Moses to come out of that. But, I mean, it's a war, like you guys said at the beginning. And I mean, Jason's been hammering on this for a long time in his writings and on what he's saying. You know, it's an unseen war. It's a war that they've, you know, that most people can't even see. And we probably can't even see it to the extent it is.
Right.
You know. Well, and that's what, you know, I was thinking about that this week is, you know, we're talking about the desensitization that's going taking place, you know, and, you know, how our military's practicing it and Department of Homeland Security's practicing it. You know, how much of that have, you know, I was sitting here thinking, how much of that has affected me?
Yeah.
How have I become desensitized to the things that are going on around us, or how much is this unseen war, how much of it can we not see?
Yeah.
You know, and
because if you're not seeing it, you don't know you're not seeing it.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you don't know that you're not seeing it, how can, you know, and I thought about it, and I thought, you know, it just, I just stopped and I prayed that, you know, continue to open my eyes so that I can see more of what's going on, and, you know, can help me not to be desensitized by this desensitization that's taking place. And you know what? I think that's a good prayer to pray.
Yeah,
because if people will pray that, it, you know, and continue to ask for these things to be open to them, I think that they'll be able to see it. Sometimes it's kind of scary when the Lord opens your eyes to it.
Yeah,
it is. And I think our enemy understands that, and they have worked long and hard at doing that very thing to desensitize us to sin and to death.
Where they don't think that people can see it. I think that they think they've got a rap on it.
Right.
Well, a lot of them can't, though. A lot of them are still under that spell, you know.
Yeah. Well, I know.
But more
that's
and more.
They're right about it.
Right. But more and more are seeing. You know, you compare when the Waco went on. Now, they killed women and children there. There were pregnant women killed, probably, and women and children. They shot them, burned them out. And what did the American people do? There was a little uproar. There were a few voices in the wilderness that came out and decried it and called it murder for what it was.
But most of them believed the lie.
Most of them believed the lie. I remember being in...
look at Randy Weaver.
I was back in Florida when that happened. And when Waco happened, I remember one person saying to me, I bet you wish you were out there with them. You know? And the way that he said it, you know, it was in a very derogatory way. You know, I bet you wish you were out there with them, you know, meaning fighting the government and doing this kind of stuff. And you know, that was a so-called Christian, you know, a good Sunday school teacher. But we've become desensitized to that, you know, because now, you know, they continue to put things out that, oh, well, there's another killing. There's another one. There's, you know, there's more, you know, NFL football heroes having children out of wedlock. You know, here's more lies. Here's more politicians that are cheating and stealing, and they just get voted back in. You know, the latest, you know, Jesse Jackson Jr., you know, he only embezzled, what, $750,000? And he just pleads guilty, and everybody says, oh, well, he just steals some more money. You know, what's next? I remember the pastor
is this
talking.
Jesse Jackson's son?
Yeah.
Or is it, or, okay.
Oh, yeah, Junior.
I didn't know if the old one was called Junior or the, you know.
No, the Reverend, the most Reverend Jesse Jackson. Junior was like a senator or something, anyway, something, I don't know, representative. But I remember the pastor teaching that in the early days of about midway through World War II, and the propaganda was going on there for sure, but the first time that they showed dead U.S. citizens, U.S. soldiers on the big screen, you know, they'd come back and have the war reels, you know, war in the Pacific, and they'd show, you know, battleships booming and airplanes flying and the Marines marching ashore and all this stuff. But the first time that they showed, and I've seen a picture in a, he has a picture of it in one of his books, but the first time that they showed dead American soldiers in the surf, and they weren't all blown up with guts hanging out, they were just, you know, I don't know, three or four or five, half a dozen, but they were real dead Americans, real Americans, and they were really dead on the beach. When they showed that in the newsreel, I remember the pastor, and I'm sure y'all remembered as well, said people ran out of the theater. They were vomiting. They were so stricken by that. To, you know, they were so tender-hearted to know that that was, if it wasn't their son, it was their neighbor's son. And they loved their neighbor as themselves. And it upset them so much that they did that, that they just, you know, it just, I mean, it brought them to sickness. And we see it daily and just drink our coffee and eat our breakfast. And, you know, we just have it on the morning, evening, nightly news and Google the pictures. And, you know, we have become, as you said, Jason, we have become desensitized. You know, we truly have to that. And it's and we haven't seen it. You don't see that. You don't see the love you have or the love you don't have for a neighbor. That's unseen. That's unseen.
Well, that's like a lot of patriots that have come by the church and veterans and things, and they get offended because we don't fly the flag, you know. And I said, let me tell you something. I said, our pastor had more love for this country than most people. But the day he watched CNN in Iraq and watched people cheering and standing up and excited about all the people that were being murdered by the bombings and that war, he took that flag down. He never flew it again because he understood this war thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you remember that, people? Shock and awe. Boom, shock and awe. And it's coming back here, shock and awe. You know, we should be shocked and awed that you know, they're practicing, you know, their practice targets have 10-year-olds and grandpas on them.
Yep. Declaration of war.
If you think about how much blood that flag has on it, that's what got him. Like, you
yeah.
know, we reap what we sow as a person. We reap what we sow as a nation. And this blood's got so much blood on it that this flag's got so much blood on it, and we are going to reap that as a nation.
Yep.
Well, guys, why don't we open up the phone lines, 307-745-5913. Got the buttons pushed, and if you have a comment out there, we've got about 20 minutes left this Saturday morning. And if you have a comment or want to weigh in on what we're talking about, or if you even have something else. I got my Bible open up to Galatians, and Kyle, you talked about it a little bit earlier, you know, the things that that will keep us out of the kingdom. And I think sometimes it's good just to read about the things that we're supposed to have, you know. And at the end of Galatians 4, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and it's in Galatians 5. So if you don't have your Bibles open, at least write it down, Galatians 5, starting in 22. And these are the things that we are to practice. You know, Kyle mentioned we're not to, you know, those that practice lawlessness, those that are drunkards, meaning they practice at it, they work hard at it. Those that practice lying won't. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, and we're to practice love. Joy. You know, we're to have joy in our lives, the joy of knowing Christ. Peace, patience. I see the phone lines are ringing, so if you're listening in on the phone, you got to have patience. Let me read through these, and then we'll get to you. Kindness, goodness. And you know, goodness is just gone in the land today. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, And against such things there is no law. Meaning you can't have too much of them. You can't. So let us practice those things. And these things that the enemy practices, they just fall by the wayside. You know, they have more guns than us, but they can't have more goodness than we should have. And that and that goodness weighs out on over those guns. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, Richard. Hi, Wranglers. This is Tim.
Good morning, Tim.
And morning, sirs. And I wanted to talk about all those meteorites that have been coming down.
Uh-huh.
Because I think I found it in the Book of Revelations. It's chapter 16, verse 21. And I'll read it here. And huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because its plague was extremely severe. And I just wanted to point out that, you know, we've had, you know, lately we've had quite a bit. Back in the 90s, we had quite a bit of these stones coming down. And that's when I think, you know, we really started to hear a lot of blaspheming. I think it accelerated dramatically about that time, you know, where people were actually using Jesus as a curse word. I'm sure you guys must have heard that a bunch of times.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, I read through it a couple of three or four times here, and I've kind of figured out that the effect of these stones is not to wipe these guys out. It doesn't wipe them out. It causes them to blaspheme. You know, in other words, I think this is just something that's been happening now, and it's been happening 10 years ago. It comes in bursts or cycles. You know, like a woman giving birth is, you know, they have these labor pains, and of course no one knows more about it than Richard, but I know a little bit about it myself. You know, they have these, you know, contractions and labor, and then there's a rest, and then it comes on again, right? And I think we've had, you know, maybe three or four of these bouts now. So it, you know, coming up, you know, 10, 15 years apart. And so that's kind of my take on Revelations 16:21. I think it's happening, and it's just happening, and I'm grateful it's happening. But you know, I mean, the blaspheming thing isn't good to listen to, and you know, but it's just part of the process, I guess.
It is. And you know, the word says that every man will be judged by the words that he says, and so those will come back to him. Well, thanks for your call,
yeah,
Tim. Thank you. Thanks for bringing that up.
They had one more thing, real quick.
Okay.
You still there?
Yes.
Yeah. There is an unforgivable sin. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm all for forgiving everybody, but you can't forgive the sin that Jesus calls unforgivable. You know what I mean?
That's true.
And I think it's like I said, you have these people that are just openly blaspheming Jesus, and it's just, you know, it's not for us. I don't believe it's for me anyway to forgive that.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Tim.
All right, well,
appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Good points. We'll stay with the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, Wranglers. Timmy from Maine.
Good morning, Tim.
There's been so much bloodshed in this country the last 120 years. The Holy Spirit has just revealed to me that we can't stop the abortion blood until we stop the war blood. All these wars that we've instigated are really American communist purges. I mean, look what we've done in Afghanistan and Iraq to innocent peoples. One minute we armed the Afghans in the late 70s to fight the Soviets, and we turn around and backstab them, kick them in the face. I mean, this country is so hated.
So what you're saying is we're reaping what we're sowing, and until we stop sowing, we're not going to quit reaping. You know?
Exactly. And we're, you know, up here in Maine, it's a lot of places are decrepit. I drive by, I see many decent homes just falling apart. We've probably for the last at least 15 years, we've had these third world type conditions. The people still don't get it. You know, it's so hollow and shallow the way the stars and stripes. The people may be red, white, and blue on the outside, but they're, you know, blood communists red on the inside. Mm-hmm. We should have stopped flying the stars and stripes as soon as Reagan instituted the last communist plank back in the late 80s. We're under all 10 planks. We might as well have a hammer sickle or some other socialist flag up there. God hates that phony patriotism. It's an abomination to him. Pride is nauseating. It really is. Even among Christians, a lot of the Judeo-Christians, the false patriotism and the pride is just nauseating. God's not going to have it any longer. He's going to come right down to the wire, and he's going to save his people. It'll be a scant few. And that's it, brothers.
Thank you, Timmy. Have a good weekend.
You too.
All right.
Yeah.
Kyle, I see you writing something down over there. Is
no,
that
I'm
something
trying
for...
to get my pen to work.
Oh, here, you need one? Try that one.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what Timmy said, and Tim too. Just we're reaping as we have sown in the past, and we're going to continue that until we stop. You know,
right?
The birth pangs are going to get worse. You know, I mean. And, you know, I don't know if Tim's right on the Revelation 16:21 or not, but if we start seeing more meteors, because that's how birth pangs work, you know.
More and more.
I mean, it's obviously something to look at. You know, I mean, it's going to happen, you know.
Yes.
Rather, I'm still alive when it finally happens, you know. I hope so. I mean, if you're going to pick exciting times in the Bible to live in, you know.
I think these are certainly some.
I think they're pretty exciting.
I think they are. Let's try the phone lines again. We've got a few more minutes. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, hello, Richard.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, this is Robert from upstate New York. How you fellas doing?
Doing well, Robert. Are you trying to sell some high-capacity magazines?
Hell no.
Just a little bit of humor. A little bit of humor on Saturday morning, okay? That's all.
No, that'll be the day. we're all united up here. I mean, even the sheriff's department, they're not going for this bogus law. I mean, the sheriff's association, the majority of the state troopers, the counties are writing up referendums against it. I mean, we're solid. I mean, there's no way that this purge is going to happen. So, I mean, Albany and those liberals, you know, they're dreaming. They must be on drugs.
Maybe.
Can you imagine though what our grandparents would have said about not happening in this country 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago?
No. And you know,
if they were alive, they'd all have heart attacks by now.
Right. Well, we hear them say it so many times. I can't imagine it getting any worse. You know, we hear that. Well.
Yeah. But in a way,
generations can't. Some generations can't.
You know, it's a good thing because it is humbling. You know, the population. But you know, you can be humbled, but you have to seek, you know, God and pray. And then God will heal the land. So it's like a formula that has to be brought about. But it's up to Christians to say, well, you know, you're kind of down and out now. So why don't you pray about it? You know, open up that mind to another resource besides maybe a beer or whatever.
Right.
So
that's certainly what we were talking about, Robert. I think you make a good point that. You know, let the people see, hey, has writing your congressman worked? No. You know, has doing this or doing that worked? No. we'll try a new formula. Try something that does work. Instead of trying the same old thing that doesn't work, you know, I think I, you know, John, what's the definition of insanity?
Doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results.
Right. And you know,
are you
so,
saying I do that?
No, you just know the definition.
Yeah, but let me just leave this with you, fellas. You know, we're strong, we're united, and, you know, we're taking a stand. I mean, it's like, come and get it. You want it, you're going to get it. So, you know, New York, we're strong, and, you know, we're armed, we're ready, and, you know, we're not going nowhere.
Well, hope, you know, the I heard a term the other day, keep your gun loaded and your Bible open.
And, absolutely.
And they definitely have to go hand in hand, for sure.
Yeah. Well, you fellas had a great day. Take care.
Thank you.
He mentioned healing of the land. You know, God healed the land once in the days of Noah,
mm-hmm.
and he healed it by water.
Yep.
He's going to heal the land again, and it's going to be by fire. Now, there's several different meanings to that fire, but it's going to happen.
Yes.
You know, and my hope is set on that, and that means I expect it to happen. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I want to be part of it. Want to be here when it happens. If I'm not, I'm not. You know, but my hope and expectation is when the land gets healed again.
Amen.
That he mentioned.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. Well, I've drank my coffee this morning. Yeah, I've finished up my coffee this morning, and we've got just a few minutes left of the program, so I guess that's about right. I've got a verse in Revelation that I just thought I would. It's Revelation 3, and I'd say, verse 18, maybe to 22. And it is certainly some last days advice. It's Revelation 3, starting in 18. He says, I advise you to buy from me gold. And no, we're not selling gold. That's not what he's talking about. But he says, gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments, that you may clothe yourselves, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes, that you may see. And the precious things that he's talking about, you're not going to find them on the internet. You're not going to find them on a Google search, but you'll find them in the Bible. And that white garments, how can you talk about being saved and not talk about baptism? You know, the Bible talks about it from the beginning to the end of it. That you have to, you know, and especially at the end, you have to have those white garments. You have to be clothed with Christ. You have to be washed in his blood. And the only way that that happens, it doesn't happen by accepting him as your personal Savior. It happens by believing and repenting and being baptized. And that will save you from this wicked and perverse generation that... That is all about us. Got time for one more phone call, and the phones are ringing. Good morning. Thanks for calling into coffee. We've got a couple minutes.
Yes, hi, Richard.
Good morning.
Yeah, Joe in PA. Got a thing, just a little thought about these posters, women and children and stuff. There was an old saying in the Navy and amongst sea captains going back centuries, I guess, women and children first. And I remember reading in the old Spotlight years ago about how the FBI had perverted that saying, and it came out in a couple of the Spokane papers that now that this concept of women and children first is meant to just actually be just exactly what it is. They go for the women and children, and the rationale is it goes over into the third world. Because the women and the children are the ones you're least expected to be carrying weapons, so then they put them down first. So it's nothing new, really. This is just like a media manifestation of it, I guess. And
good point.
Another real quick thing is that the one caller that called before regarding blaspheming Jesus, I believe that the Bible says that is not unforgivable. I may be wrong. I've been looking at it since he brought the subject up, but I believe that blaspheming Jesus and blaspheming the Holy Spirit are different.
Well, perhaps. A lot of what he's talking about, Joe, was taking God's name in vain. Now, everybody thinks the GD word is taking God's name in vain, but that when people use the name of Jesus Christ in vain all the time, like they do, you know, they use it like a curse word. You know, they use it when they hit their thumb with a hammer. They use it when they're just in their daily conversations, you know. And that is breaking one of the big commandments, taking the Lord's name in vain. You know, I mean, blaspheming against the Holy Spirit is different. You know, it's...
Yes, in, because...
Somebody asked in one of our Sunday schools, I don't think you were there, Richard, that's why you weren't bringing it, but somebody asked, I think Steve asked somebody what blaspheming against the Holy Spirit was, and one of the men in the church said, lying to the Spirit. You know, I mean, and that definitely covers... that, but then again, it's under. There's a lot of interpretation with that. You know,
the Apostle Paul certainly. I don't think I ever read it being proclaimed that he had done it, but he certainly was anti-Christ. You know,
yeah, one time.
Up until the crucifixion.
Right, well, but if he would have did that after he received the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, I mean,
right.
It would have been a whole different ballgame.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
On another note,
sure.
I was looking here. I remember you sent me that thing about Tebow speaking in Dallas, First Baptist Church.
Oh, apparently, you mean last year?
This year. It was supposed to be in March. He just canceled it.
Yeah.
Amongst pressure of gay and lesbian community and local churches. So if you read through between the lines here, it looks like it's the pressure of the churches because he stands firm against gay marriage and against homosexuality.
Yeah. The pastor at the church that Tebow was scheduled to speak at.
The same church that he did last year or different?
No.
I think so.
I thought it was a different one, but might have been, but...
But anyway, here's the thing, though, that says Robert Jeffress, the pastor of the First Baptist Church, has been outspoken leader in the nation's culture wars, affirming from the pulpit traditional marriage and salvation. And then they accused him of being, it says, the national media labeled Jeffress as anti-gay and anti-Semitic,
right.
Charges that were vehemently denied by the pastor. So...
Yeah, that's the thing. You start getting tangled up in the media, and you start compromising and going along.
And I would bet it's not his decision. I would bet that they told him that you're not going to be speaking there.
Yep, the deaconettes.
Yep.
Yeah, the deaconettes.
Boy, the attacks are every day stronger on these stinking queers. I read a thing today too that there's a 300-page dossier that was released in the Italian paper. That says there's a strong gay scandal in the between the bishops and the popes, you know, in the Vatican.
Yep. Boy, talk about nothing new under the sun.
With male prostitutes, and they have, you know, and now those that were involved in it are blackmailing the Vatican.
Yeah.
With, you know, I don't want to go into detail because it's disgusting and sick, but.
Good. And we're out of time. So
nothing new under the sun.
Maybe you can work it into your welcome at church tomorrow. But, guys, we're out of time.
Want to.
Okay, good. Well, we do invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. Come to scriptures4america.org. That's the website. 10 a.m. Mountain. You can tune in there. You know, you can also, if you have an iPhone or an iPad, you can do the same thing. Go to your, however it is, you go to the website or go to the internet. On mine, it's Safari. Go to scriptures4america.org. You can click on the at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, the live broadcast, and then hit the little button that says iPhone or iPad, and you can watch and hear the broadcast right on your iPhone. I've done it many times, and And
my flip phone, it's a real,
no flip phones. You got to have an iPhone or an iPad, but it sure works great. It's a way to that you can get the message and join us in church wherever you're at, and you can do it right on your phone or right on the right on the internet. So, men, thanks again. And we do invite you to come to church tomorrow. Got a little surprise for you. It's going to be a little something different. I think you're going to enjoy it. And we'll leave it at that. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Country stolen, keep on rolling over Snake High. Fast and pray together, make them hells and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, Snake High.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, Snake High.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake High. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.